Take three. Okay, so again, very exciting topic, which I'm excited to teach about, which is the Yom Tov tourist. If anyone in this room or anyone listening might end up in Israel, so the big question is going to be not just Pesach, but Shavuos and Sukkos and Sukkos. How many days of Yom Tov are you keeping? And this is a very, very relevant question. You know, really all the time it comes up. Every single Chag, people are asked, people are asking, people hear something from their friend. So let's learn the sources together. I'm going to put a disclaimer right now that I'm not going to be giving, you know, the official psak, but I will kind of just let you know what's out there a little bit. I'll tell you if there are official psakim, but for the most part, we're just kind of learning the sugya over here. Okay, so the starting point with this sugya, you really have to just, we need a little bit of background. Right, so originally, before we had a fixed calendar. Right now our calendar is fixed. If you look on the Ezra's Torah Luach, you'll figure out exactly how long each month is and when the Molad, etc., all this stuff is, you can figure out from Google, from your Luach. Way back when, it didn't work that way. Way back when, the way it worked, Al Pi Din Torah, is they would have two Edim come, two Edim would see the new moon, and if Edim saw the new moon, so they would come to the Beis Din HaGadol, the Beis Din HaGadol, based on their testimony, would say, okay, the new moon has come, which means that it is a brand new month, and based on the testimony, or lack thereof, they would decide that the previous month had either been 29 days, or had been 30 days. But you, if you weren't, you know, around, if you didn't have basically no one, there was impossible for you to know how long the previous month was going to be. So let's say it was Pesach coming up, so, and you live very, very far away. So you don't know, is today the first day of Nisan already? Or are we on the last day of Adar Sheni? You wouldn't know. You wouldn't have an idea. So now, once they figure that out, they then have to send shlichim. They have to go and send people across all of Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael, tell all the Jewish communities, hey, look, you know, we made it X amount of days, or we made it Y amount of days. The month was either Malay or it was Chaser. So the way it worked out is that practically, if people were outside of a certain distance, if people were outside of, let's say, a 15 days travel, so that they wouldn't have heard which way Nisan worked, which way Nisan, or really the previous month, which way Adar, how long it was. So they would end up having to keep 2 days of Pesach because they weren't sure, is today the first day of Pesach? Is it the last day before Pesach, etc.? And automatically, you'd end up keeping 2 days of Yom Tov. So that makes a lot of sense. Everything changed once they made a fixed calendar. Because now that we have a fixed calendar, again, you can look at your Ezra's Torah Luach. You can see exactly how long is this month and how long is the next month. So I know with certainty that the 15th of Nisan is the 15th of Nisan. So why do I have to go and keep 2 days? I know that only in the Torah, there's only one day of Yantif at the beginning of Pesach. There's only one day of Yantif at the end of Pesach. I should only have to keep 1 day. Why do I have to keep more than that? So the Gemara in Beitza addresses all this. It first tells us the background. Barishona, in source one, Hayu Masin Masos. So they used to, this is Barishona, a quicker way to get the information out. Originally what they would do, instead of actually sending runners to go and tell people, hey, you know, we made the Chodesh a certain way, is they would light bonfires. The bonfires would tell, would be a signal for how long the month was, and that was a much more efficient system. You could go from mountain to mountain to mountain and spread word very, very fast all in the course of one night. However, Mishakilkilu HaKusim, then the Kusim came along, the Samaritans, they made trouble for the rabbinic Jews, and they wanted to mess with our calendar, so they would go ahead and light the bonfires when we weren't supposed to light the bonfires, and they threw the entire calendar into whack. So they had to stop doing this whole fire lighting thing. So Iskinu Shiu Shluchim Yotzim, they said, okay, so we have to go and send Shluchim. Fine. V'ilu Batu Kutim Abdin Al-Chad Yoma, okay, etc. I'm going to just skip to the next line. But nowadays that we actually know exactly when the calendar, how long it is, that happened around the 4th century CE when the calendar was set by Hillel HaSheni. So my time of Dinon Tre Yomi. So why do we do 2 days nowadays? And the answer is Mishum Deshalchu Mitam, because it was sent from there. Ironically, Shalchu Mitam means it was sent from Eretz Yisrael. So people who were sending this P'tach were from Eretz Yisrael. I think the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it might be Rebbe Eliezer, one of the Tanaim Ramoraim there in Israel. Hizaru b'minagav oseichem b'yedeichem. You have to be careful about the minhag of your fathers in your hands. Keep the minhagim of your parents. Your parents used to keep 2 days outside of Eretz Yisrael, so you too also keep 2 days of Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael. Zimnin degazu shmada v'asi l'kilkule. Why do you have to keep the minhag? Because what's going to happen? Maybe one day there's going to be a shmad. They're going to prevent the Jews from keeping Torah properly. They're going to prevent people from learning Torah properly. And you're not going to be able to figure out exactly how long is the month, right? Meaning, let's say they got rid of all the Ezra's Torah Luachs. So how would you know how long the luach is? So there's all these calculations. There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about how to figure out how the calendar works. It's not so simple. I'm seeing Davida has...
Can I say you call Sam?
What? You call up Sam, right? So Sam knows it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, this might seem like a little crazy, like, you know, are we really worried about a shmad and people aren't going to know how to calculate? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, he lived in Luban in Russia, and he was under the communist government. You know, they were attacking Judaism as a whole. They were trying to get us to stop learning Torah. Rav Moshe was basically kicked out of Russia, and his last act before he left Russia was to write out the next couple decades of the Hebrew calendar, because he knew that no one in Luban would have any clue what the calendar was going to look like without him. That was his last act. So you can see, if you weren't in Rav Moshe's Luban, I don't know what the other areas did, but people really, there wasn't such a clear way of knowing the calendar. Now it's true we have Google, so Google kind of changes things, but it's not like this is such a far-fetched takana that we keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Okay, so that's the background to why we keep 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. The question now becomes, okay, so I'm a Ben Chutz La'aretz. I'm going to use that term sometimes, Ben Chutz La'aretz, someone from Chutz La'aretz. Maybe I'll just say an American, that's a little simpler. I'm an American. I come to Israel. So in Israel, they keep 1 day. This takana was never ever created that you have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. In Chutz La'aretz, there's a takana that Americans and other Bnei Chutz La'aretz have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. So what do you do then? That's the big question. So I guess the starting point is that it seems like it's not so complicated. It seems like if you learn one Gemara, the answer should be pretty straightforward. So the Gemara goes as follows. This Gemara in the fourth parak of Psachim, it's a Mishnah really. It says, "Makum shenahagu la'asos malacha be'arve psachim archatzos osi." If you have a place, this is not talking about Yom Tov, it's talking about a minhag which some had not to do any malacha on the day, on Erev Pesach, on the morning before Pesach actually started. So it's talking about minhagim in general. But makum shenahagu la'asos malacha be'arve psachim archatzos osi. If you have a minhag to go and do malacha Erev Pesach up until chatzos, no problem. Makum shenahagu shelo la'asos ein osi. But if you're in a place which has a minhag not to go and do malacha on Erev Pesach, so you should join that minhag and you should not be doing, you're part of those people, so you should not be doing malacha. What if I'm a traveler? Haholich mimakum she'osin lamakum she'ein osin. Let's say I am going from a place where they do malacha to a place where they don't do malacha. Omi makum she'ein osin lamakum she'osin. Or I'm doing the reverse. I'm going from a place where they don't do malacha and I'm coming to a place where they do malacha. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is, Nosin alav chumre makum sheyatza misham, the chumre makum shehalach lasham. The rule is that you give the chumras of both places on the person. So if you were machmir over there, you have to still be machmir. If they're machmir over here, you have to still be machmir. If that's all you had, and don't change anything because of machlokas, meaning don't do differently than where you're at because of machlokas. So if I only had that Mishnah before I saw the Rishonim, so it would sound like, okay, I just have to be machmir in all directions. So what would being machmir in all directions even look like in Israel? Let's say I get creative. Right. So the whole Mishnah is very hard to understand, meaning the Mishnah says don't change from what's being done because of machlokas. Okay, but I thought you also told me I have to be machmir for whatever I was machmir from beforehand. So that's the issue with this Mishnah. Maybe we won't get into exactly what this theoretical perspective would be if you're machmir for everything. The Rishonim say it doesn't mean what it sounds like. It does not mean that all chumras just automatically apply in all directions. If you look at the Ran, source 3, he says there's a very, you have to read this Mishnah very carefully. It means something very specific. So he says, he quotes the whole Mishnah, jump to the second line, Perush mashnisim b'shedaito lachzor mitukma. The whole Mishnah is talking specifically about a person who plans on going back to their original place. That's his very, very fundamental yesod. It's not just him. Other Rishonim say it also. It's based on the Gemara. But he says the entire Mishnah is talking about where I'm going somewhere and I'm planning on returning back to my original place. Therefore, it says, so now he tells you how to read the Mishnah. When I go from a place where they don't do malacha, and I go to a place where they do malacha, so what's the halacha? Kevan shedaito lachzor, since I plan on going back to the place where they do not do malacha, nosin alav chumro hamakom sheyatzu misham midina. The halacha is, this is a halacha, he's saying midina, the actual halacha for him is that this person has a requirement to keep the halachos of the place which he originally lives in and which he plans on returning to. That's a halacha. Umimakum she'osin, umimakum she'inosin. What about the reverse, where I am from a place where we're more mekel, we do malacha, and I go to a place where they're more machmir, they don't do malacha. Afogav dimidina osa. Even though really the halacha is you're allowed to do malacha, you're a person from the first type of minhag. Nonetheless, kevan shedaitol achzor, because you plan on returning. Afilo hachi al yishana mipnei machlokas. The Mishnah at the end tells you when you're in Rome, act like the Romans and be machmir. But that machmir is only to avoid acting out, to avoid looking different from the rest of the population. So he adds, v'kevan demipnei machlokas hu v'lav midina. Since this, when you're in Rome and you're doing like the Romans, that's not really the halacha, but that's just to avoid machlokas. Yesh lomar davka bifneim hu demetzar habitzin ashar. So then the iser is only when you're in public, that you shouldn't be acting differently in public. But when you're bitzina, when you are alone in your home, so you can do what you want. So this shir is not about the following case, but in theory, let's just talk about an Israeli coming to Chutz La'aretz, because this is the easier case. So what the Shulchan Aruch talks about this case explicitly. Shulchan Aruch says, if I'm an Eretz Yisrael Yid, and I come to Chutz La'aretz, so when I'm in public, because of Machlokes, I have to keep 2 days of Yontif. I can't do Malacha in front of other Chutznikim, if we'll use that word. But when I'm at my home, and no one can tell if I'm doing Malacha or not, so then I would be allowed to go and do Malacha. That's the basic halacha. Yeah, Shan.
So when
we're
saying make it look like you're keeping 2 days of Yontif, if you're with somebody the whole day, you'll also realize they're not doing mitzvah say, which they're not.
That's a good question. So the question was, if you're with someone the whole day, they'll be able to tell you're not doing the mitzvah say. Right. Do they have to do a Seder? When an Israeli is in America, do they have to do a Seder? It's basically a second Seder, is your question. So, good question. The answer is, I didn't look into that enough to give you a proper answer. My guess is that we'll just say stay in a different room, and as long as you're not publicly desecrating, it's not going to lead to machlokas, but I'm not certain about that.
But if it's just one other person, they probably know. This is probably more like a larger public, like Mark.
Right. Right. So how to apply this, you know, who it applies to, your family might be different, I don't know, and ask. The people who are getting asked those questions aren't the American poskim, they're the Israeli poskim, because the Israelis are speaking to their Israeli poskim. Okay, so what does that mean practically for our American who goes to Israel? Any guesses? Just so far, what does this mean? You're an American, you go to Israel, what should the halacha be? Don't worry, there's more sources, so don't get too worried.
One day.
Right, okay, so let's. So that was part of it. Meaning, you shouldn't do differently if they have a chumra. You shouldn't do differently than that chumra which they have, because it would lead to machlokes. But when you're from the place which is more machmir, when you're from the place which doesn't do malacha, and you're in a place where they do malacha, the halacha is midina, says the Ran and other Rishonim, that you are required to keep that which you were the place where you're from, as long as daito lachzer, as long as you plan on going back. So the halacha is you're required. You're still a ben chutz la'aretz. You're still an American. An American keeps American halacha. Yes, good. Just before we get to the dissenters. So far, so good. Okay, so the big name over here is the Chacham Tzvi. Who's the Chacham Tzvi? So his name's of Tzvi Hirsch Ashkenazi. I'll tell you what I found on Wikipedia just a little bit. He lives in the late 1600s, early 1700s. He has a few, more than a few, but he has a bunch of famous tshuvos. One of them is in this topic. He is... got a very ironic name, because his name is Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, and we call him the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham is regularly a name which we reserve for Sephardi poskim, like Chacham Ovadia. So how did that happen? So he was a big traveler. He ended up in, depends on which exactly place you look, either he ended up somewhere, Constantinople or Salonika, somewhere. He learned in the Sephardic yeshiva, and they really, really liked him. They started calling him the Chacham Tzvi. So we said, you know what, let's call him the Chacham Tzvi, and that's how he published his tshuva sefer. The tshuvos were that of the Chacham Tzvi. But he got around, he fought against the Shabtai Tzvi movement, and he was certainly, he was known for being, his tshuvos are nice and easy to read in a certain sense, because he stays to the topic. Sometimes tshuvos go all over the place, and like, oh, I actually had a chiddush, so I wanted to tell you something, and they go off on tangents. The Chacham Tzvi stays nice and focused. So he has, he disagrees with what you would have expected. He says as follows, nearly an yas daiti. So he was asked the exact same question. He says, seems to me, you have to act with respect to Yontif like a Ben Eretz Yisrael, Hatoshavim, those who actually live there. Don't worry that this is part of the rule that you have to follow the minhagim of your original place. Why? So he has this very, very interesting idea. He says, "She'ilu hayu kol anshei hamakom she'yatzu misham kan bikviyusa." Let's say the entire Washington Heights community were to uproot itself and move to Israel. So you're from a Washington Heights community, you're from an American community, and you, as a whole community, were to uproot yourself and move to Israel. So what would they do? They can't continue doing 2 days if they uproot themselves and move to Eretz Yisrael. Mishum bal tosif. Says there'll be a problem bal tosif. In Israel, you have a mitzvah to keep only 1 day. If you were to, the whole community were to move to Eretz Yisrael, so of course they moved, so they have to keep 1 day. They can't keep 2 days. Okay, he brings proofs to the idea of bal tosif. So very, very interesting idea. When does this whole rule apply that you have to keep your original minhagim? Only if were your whole community to uproot itself and move to the second place where you're visiting, you'd be able to continue keeping that minhag. So like Erev Pesach. So if you had a minhag to not work on Erev Pesach, and you lived in Salonika, and you moved to Washington Heights, you could keep doing that minhag. There's nothing wrong with not doing malacha on Erev Pesach. But if you live in Washington Heights, and you move as a community to Eretz Yisrael, you are not allowed to keep 2 days of Yontif. You have to keep 1 day of Yontif. He has a line at the end, which I think is really what he's saying in a simpler way. What he says at the end is just the bold at the last line, Kevan shehamakum gorin. At the end of the day, this is not just a minhag, which is up to, oh, what was my minhag, what was your minhag? This is based on the place. The place is, if you're in Israel, so you keep 1 day. If you're in Chutz La'aretz people keep 2 days. So it's not shaykh to the general rule of keep the minhagim from where you came from, because those minhagim are specific to places by definition, not just by happenstance. That's his first main argument. And then he has a second argument. His second argument is very hard to understand. He says, "V'af." If you jump to the end of the big bold, "V'af t'shalchu mitam izar b'minhag avoseichem." Didn't they say in the Gemara you have to keep your minhagim? Gilma gazu shmad v'asi lekukule. Well, isn't the whole concern that, you know, someone's going to have a shmad and you're not going to be able to keep the mitzvos and you're going to lose the calendar? Hach kalkala gufa lo shaycha el kasheim bimkomam b'chutz la'aretz. When would you ever have a problem of the shmad, of losing the calendar? If you're in chutz la'aretz. Aval biyosam b'eretz Yisrael lo shaycha. If everyone were to get up and move to Eretz Yisrael and there were a shmad, so he says it's not shaykh that you'd have such a problem that people would lose the calendar. He doesn't explain why that is. He just says, if you were to move to Israel, what, you think a shmad would really cause problems? It can't be.
Well, we don't say in Israel. Like, because if he said that, then he would have said in Israel too, they should be keeping 2 days also.
Right, so we don't say in Israel keep 2 days because that wasn't the minhag of Avosehem. Meaning there's two parts here. The first part is, keep your minhagim, which was in Chutz La'aretz, they would keep 2 days. And why are we telling you to keep that minhag? Because it could lead to a problem, you know, down the line. But in Israel, they never even made that takana because they were always keeping 1 day, so they didn't feel the need to force the 2 days upon them. So already his son, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, says, I'm not exactly sure why he thinks that the Shmad couldn't be an issue in Eretz Yisrael. But okay, at least that first svara is very interesting, that it's a makom gorim, it's a minhag which is specifically dependent on a place, so maybe this whole rule doesn't apply. If you look... Okay, so Yosef's saying that maybe what he meant is that the communities in Israel were historically larger and it would be harder for them all to lose. I think the Ramban in one of his letters talks about, like, he couldn't find a minyan except for in Yerushalayim. Like, there wasn't always the case that there were such large Jewish communities in Israel, but... Right.
And all the Jews either fled or were killed.
Right, but I'm saying you could have something like that again if there was a shmad, so they could do the same thing.
Because, yeah, but it's not a shmad.
Shmad
means when you try to
approve. Right. Shmad regularly is more of an attacking our mitzvos more than the people. I hear what you're saying. Okay, so maybe that's what's going on. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he thought the Chachamim, he was correct. He says, B'nei Chutz La'aretz, Shebo'u La'aretz Yisrael. If you have B'nei Chutz La'aretz, who come to Eretz Yisrael, Afal Pi Shedayt L'Nachzor, even though you plan on returning back home, Ein Osin Ela Yom Echad, Ki B'nei Eretz Yisrael. You should just do like the B'nei Eretz Yisrael, B'yesh Cholkim. He says, yeah, some people disagree, but he says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that the standard halacha, he thinks, should be like the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, so that's where the one-day opinion comes from. So what's the problem with the one-day opinion? So the problem is that it went against probably 1,000 years of minhag. If you look at the Avkas Rochav, turn the page. So again, the Chacham Tzvi was written, was published at the beginning of the 1700s. The Avkas Rochel is written is the Tshuva Sefer of the Beis Yosef. So Beis Yosef, he writes the Shulchan Aruch, he writes the Kesef Mishnah. He also has this Tshuva Sefer, which doesn't get quite as much press, the Avkas Rochel. But he was asked the same question. The Avkas Rochel is interesting, though, because it wasn't published until 200 years after the Beis Yosef died. We had it in parts, and we had a bunch of scattered tshuvos. Some people published these, and some published those. And someone finally put it together 200 years later, called the Avkas Rochel. So the Chacham Tzvi did not have this tshuva, most likely, in front of him when he wrote his tshuva. But the Beis Yosef writes as follows. He says, and he's got strong language here. He says, tshuva, davar pashut hu, dekol shedaito lachzor noi kemakom shiyatsu misham. Anytime you're planning on returning somewhere, you have to keep the chumras of the place from which you left. Afil lahakel, that would be true, even lekula. Uvach lo yaseh bifnei b'nei hamakom. Okay, he goes through the whole thing. I'm actually going to skip until the after the ellipsis, four lines from the bottom. V'chein maisim b'chol yom. He says this happens all the time. People come to Eretz Yisrael. You have to remember the Beis Yosef, so he ends up in Tzfat. So v'chein maisim b'chol yom b'chol shana v'shana olim l'shalosh regalim mechutz la'aretz ha'aretz. Every one of the three regalim, we have people coming up from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. The osim yom sheni shal galios kitikuno uchemishpatav b'chutz la'aretz. They do the whole 2 days of Yontif like you're supposed to in chutz la'aretz. And goes into exactly how you do a minyan. And one thing which he's dealing with over there is that we said you should try and avoid machlokas. So he's trying to figure out, so then how come we have public minyanim in Eretz Yisrael to do yantif sheni minyanim? They're acting like yantif publicly in a certain sense. He's bothered by that, but you know we can hold off on the minyan question for right now. So the Beis Yosef says, again, Beis Yosef is 100 years at least earlier than the Chacham Tzvi. He says, the Minog, everyone was keeping 2 days. Rav Ovadia, I didn't give you the actual quotes, but Rav Ovadia quotes that in the Chuvos Gaonim Mizrach Umarev and the Maisa Gaonim, I think that these are Gaonim Sfarim, I don't know if they're found in the Cairo Geniza, but Rav Ovadia, Yosef knew literally everything. So if anyone ever wrote it, he knows it. So in the 900s already, we have these Chuvos from the Gaonim, and the Gaonim's Chuvos, says Rav Ovadia, also say, you keep 2 days, that's what we're all doing. So the standard psak is to keep 2 days. There's a Chacham Tzvi, there's this Balatanya, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, there's a Sholom Meshiv who say you keep 1 day. But the psak going back at least 1,000 years, we know, is that people were keeping 2 days. The author of the Beis Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, says in his tshuva, you keep 2 days. And I'll just tell you a short list of... before I get to the short list, or I'll say the short list now anyways. Short list of contemporary poskim who say you keep 2 days is just about anyone whoever you might have probably heard of nowadays. So the Mishnah Berurah, first of all, is clear that that's what you do. If you look in source 7, Uben chutz la'aretz shebal eretz Yisrael, im daito lachzor limkomo, as long as you plan on coming back home, tzarech laso shnei yamim tovim. You have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Achein im daito shlo lachzor limkomo, but if you don't plan on coming back, le'olam yisnai kebnei eretz Yisrael, v'chumosh mevor, and if you plan on staying there, so then you start acting like the bnei eretz Yisrael. So besides for the Mishnah Berurah, I'll just tell you Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Eliyashiv, Rav Ozner, and Rav Ovadia, they all paskin in a stam case. We're going to have to talk about in a moment what it means that I plan on returning or don't plan on returning. If I have nothing going for me in terms of living in Eretz Yisrael, I am quite certain I am coming back home after this Chag, and let's say the other Chagim, I'm not planning on being there for all three regalim. We'll talk about that shortly. So then almost all contemporary poskim say you keep 2 days of Yom Tov. That's just the, yeah.
Isn't that why Chabad says you only keep 1 day? It's because they hold that also Rav Ovadia says you're going to find another one.
Yeah, so we'll get to Rav Ovadia shortly. Chabad's the exception. Chabad is the exception because of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav is the big posek for Chabad. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he writes also elsewhere that like there's this idea, which I didn't understand, of Kedusha, that you know there's a certain like... the place has a certain kedusha which is only fit for one day. That's Eretz Yisrael, and outside there's the kedusha needs to be spread out more. So it's more like about where you are, and the kedusha inherently has to be one day or 2 days. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav, if you're Chabad, if you have strong Chabad roots or strong Chabad connections, makes a lot of sense. You know, I think probably the standard psak is 1 day. If you have a Chabad posik, you know, ask them to confirm them. But the vast majority of poskim say, in a normal case, I confirmed with Rabbi Taubes, he says the same. Rabbi Taubes says 2 days to anyone who asks him a stam shayla. We're going to get again to all the exceptions. There are a lot of exceptions. But, yeah.
Is there an issue, I guess specifically this is not really the biggest question, if you're only going for half Pesach?
Like the first half?
Yeah, like
if you're only...
So, or the other way around, so like eating chametz on the last day if you had two seders or something like that.
Right. So how many seders do you do? So I haven't seen anyone saying like there's a tarti desasri issue. Like if you're a Chabad person, whatever, you follow the Chacham Tzvi and you keep 1 day the first days, that's just because when I'm in Israel, so I only keep 1 day. If I keep, then I leave in Eretz Yisrael, I'm keeping 2 days. So that would, I don't think that would be unreasonable. Yeah.
We're talking practical. I know someone in the Tri-State area who... Moroccan Israeli, but lives here, so he's, you know, been living here for many years. So the first days of Pesach, he's going to be here. He has a daughter, though, who made Aliyah, who lives in Israel, is getting married in Israel, and wants to do a Maimuna. The wedding's going to be the Maimuna, which is the day after Pesach.
Okay.
The Maimuna is. So he's going to Israel, Kol Moed, for the last part of Pesach, and the wedding will be what would be the,
complicated. I'll let him deal with that shayla.
What?
I'll let him deal with that shayla.
Yeah, I think what he's doing is that he's not keeping, you know, even though he's going to be here the first days and keep 2 days. He lives here.
Right.
Goes to Israel, probably a lot, whatever, but he, you know, keeps 2 days. But the last day is his daughter, somebody get married on, you know, Maimuna day. And I think he's not keeping
the last day of Pesach. That's Pesach. Okay, so again, I'm not. My goal here is not to tell you about what anyone else is doing. I'm just telling you what I've seen, and I'd say the standard approach to this topic is. So let me just. There's a few other points. So what is the response to Chacham Tzvi? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others just explain. It's not necessarily true that this rule of Chumrei Makom Shiyatzu Misham, that you are basically where you return to, is dependent on whether it's a minhag which is dependent on place or not, meaning which is specific to Eretz Yisrael. As long as you are an American at the end of the day, you keep the American, you know, Shulchan Aruch. And if you are an Israeli at the end of the day, you keep the Israeli Shulchan Aruch. Has anyone ever heard of 1.5 days before?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's heard of 1.5 days. I hadn't heard of 1.5 days till I went to HaKotel. That was the first time I ever heard of it. My yeshiva for my first year in Israel. So what is 1.5 days? So one... Yes. So the Gemara sounded like this idea. What is 1.5 days? 1.5 days says, you know what? Really, either we should be keeping 2 days or 1 day, whichever side you take. But I'm worried about the other opinion, so I'm going to try and be machmir for every single thing that I can do, as if it were both 2 days and 1 day at the same time. So what does that end up being? It ends up being a little miserable in my experience. But you end up not doing any malacha, so you can't like do anything, you know, which all the Israelis are doing. But you also, depending on how you pass, and depending on whether you think it's, you're really 2 days is what you should be keeping, or really 1 day you should be keeping, but you're going to, let's say you're a man, you'll put on tefillin, and maybe you make a bracha, maybe you don't make a bracha, depending on the case, or you'll maybe make a seder without brachos, with brachos, without brachos, etc. You'll daven, how you'll daven will depend on exactly where you end on that question, but you basically try and be machmir for everything in all directions as much as possible. Now, why did that come about? So the answer is that a lot of poskim were very taken by the Chacham Tzvi's argument. They thought, you know, I know it's against all the poskim. All the poskim basically don't accept, most of the poskim don't accept the Chacham Tzvi. But his argument's very strong. This is something which is dependent on the place. If it's something which is dependent on the place, so they're at least saying maybe we should be machmir for that idea. There's actually another point which a lot of them bring up. What were they doing? Let's say you were an American who made Aliyah L'Regel in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So how many days did you keep? You presumably kept one, meaning there's it might even be Gemara, as I saw someone quoting, they didn't have a source, but they said online that the Gemara says. I don't know if that's true or not. But if you made Aliyah L'Regel, so you're in Eretz Yisrael, there's no reason for you to be keeping two. It wasn't like a minug they had, just when they weren't sure if it was Yom Tov or not. So when they came to, when they didn't know, they'd keep 2 days Misafik, and when they were in Eretz Yisrael, so they'd keep 1 day. So if it's the whole goal is really Hizaru b'minagav v'seichem b'yedeichem, keep the minug of your grandparents, so how can it be that you're expecting me to be more machmir than my grandparents were when I was in Israel? It's a very strong argument. There's one exception, though, meaning it sounds like a very strong argument. There's one very, very big exception to the rule of that we're just copying what our avos did. There's one time where our avos were certainly keeping 1 day, and we keep 2 days in Chutz Laaretz. Anyone know? This is like a $60,000 question. So Shavuos. Shavuos in the Torah is always 49 days after we count the Omer, and then we have Shavuos. So as long as you would know what the first day of Nisan was, so then you're going to be able to figure out when Shavuos is, as long as by the time Shavuos comes, you know when the first day of Nisan is. Because once you figure out the first day of Nisan, you'll figure out the first day of Pesach, and then 50 days later is going to be Shavuos no matter what. Outside of, it didn't take 60 days to go in and get the news out to, maybe in America it would have, but we in Bavel and other areas, they would have actually known when Shavuos was almost definitely, and they were keeping 1 day almost always. When they made this takana, keep 2 days, so they just said, you know what, let's make Shavuos like Pesach and like Sukkot, let's not confuse everyone. They made it 2 days, even though that wasn't what the actual minhag of our forefathers was. So it's not, you know, this argument is not ironclad that we should just be keeping what our avos did. There's a little bit of low plug, there's a little bit of, getting out the wrinkles in how it's done. So that's... No, so I have not seen any poskim say keep 2 days of X and only 1 day of Shavuos, though. Even though, you know, you could have heard such an argument. So I'll tell you, there were poskim... No, but I'm saying you would figure out when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was, let's say 30 days later. Let's say by ER, you know, 30 days. So Pesach has already passed. And now I figure out when the first day of Nisan was. The word gets to me that when the first day of Nisan was. So I've already kept 2 days of Pesach because it didn't get to me in time. It didn't get to me within 15 days. But it got to me within 60 days, whatever it was. So that would be all that they needed. You're saying of keeping the minhag, you're saying?
No,
oh, yeah, making trouble. Right, 100%. So I'll just tell you some poskim who held this way. Rav Shmuel Salant held this way, Rav Cook held this way, and Rav Soloveitchik. So he also would tell Talmidim to be Machmir for 1.5 days. He personally never had to, because the only time he ever went to Eretz Yisrael, he went to Eretz Yisrael for only one regal. I forget, I think it was Shavuos or whatever it was. And the way it worked out was that Friday was the first day of Yontif, and then what would have been the second day of Yontif was Shabbos. So no one was keeping Malacha. Was doing Malacha, Rav Soloveitchik. Say again. Right. So the way that the Rav was told to do it was to keep it like to daven like a chutz, like a Ben Eretz Yisrael, to keep it like the Chacham Tzvi in terms of davening. So in Israel they were also davening that way. So ended up being that he didn't have to take a stand on it personally, but that's what he would apparently tell his Talmidim. So Rav Schechter writes and Rav Willig writes similarly that like if you're you know if you follow all of the Rav's psakim, so nice to keep 1.5. days, it's very, very hard. I'll tell you, I only tried it once in Hakotel, and it was, I was flipping, I must have been Michalov Yantif Sheni so many times, just because you're just very, very confused, because you're treating it as a whole day, but a Yantif day, it's not fun at all. Exactly. You treat it like chol, and then some people say you shouldn't be wearing your Yantif Begadim if you think it's really not Yantif, so you're wearing like your chol clothes. It's like, It's a little bit of a headache. If someone's really, you know, wants a challenge, that's an opinion which you might want to follow. If you don't want a challenge, so Rav Neuberger said he used to tell people to do this, and then he got so much response back that they just, it wasn't working. So he tells people to do 2 days. Rav Willig says the same thing. Okay, fine. So that's all about a Stam visitor. I guess we'll get to, what are the exceptions? So again, if you are planning on living there, so it's open and shut, no question, you're an Israeli now. The moment I make my decision, I get off the plane, the Nefesh B'Nefesh plane, on the day before Pesach, I'm keeping 1 day now. Not a question.
We had a small group of two-day Yom Tov people, and there was someone from Belgium who, like, finished up her Aliyah paperwork, like, Arab Yom Tov. So she, like, left our second day Yom Tov group on Arab Yom Tov.
That's awesome. Okay, so if you get your Aliyah papers in right before Yom Tov, so then you are good to go. So what if I'm planning on living there for, I don't know, a year, 2 years, 5 years? I have a job with a set amount of time, and then after that I have no plan. So how exactly long does it last? So this is the poskim debate exactly how long, but I think that the majority view is that of the Aruch HaShulchan. A lot of poskim, the Tzitz Eliezer, Avnei Nezer, the Shevet Alevi, they all say the same idea. V'chein yera alidya afilu balavado im ein daito lachzor ad achar shana mikri ein daito lachzor. If you really don't plan on even getting back on a plane until for 1 year, and this is talking about when you're not relying on your parents back home or something like that, but if you're an independent person and you plan on living in Israel for a year, you're not coming back for a year, so that's good enough, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you are now an Israeli. Okay, so these are, you know, in a certain sense, the simpler cases. Anyone ever hear of the three regalim heter?
Yeah.
Right, so this I think is a famous one. I think I grew up with this one. This is with Shlomo Zalman Arbach's big chiddush. Shlomo Zalman Arbach says that if you have, you know you'll be in Israel for all three regalim, so this is a Yom Tov halacha. This whole halacha is a Yom Tov halacha. With respect to Yom Tov then, you are an Israeli for the whole year, basically. So it's a very interesting, you know, it's a little counterintuitive.
Does it matter where it starts?
Say again?
Does it matter where it starts?
Right, so let's read it. I'm not sure if it's so clear if it matters if, when it starts. Nearly niyaz daiti. Diyesh ladun b'mishi yesh lo dira kvua b'eretz yisrael v'kavu atzman liyos tami b'dirasim sh'b'eretz yisrael yach l'mishto v'nebeso b'chol shoshes haragalim. So maybe he means that you always do that. This is the plan for the next 10 years. I'm not sure. He's not so clear. He says, you plan on spending the Shalosh Regalim in Eretz Yisrael. Da'af shiro v'ashanahim b'chutz aretz. You're spending all the rest of the time in chutz aretz. Mikol makulin yin yom tov sheni. Kevan sha'ahevdel ben Eretz Yisrael l'chutz aretz shayach rak begimlo regalim. Since this whole distinction is only relevant for the three regalim, nearly niyaz da'it de'ein aleihem shem b'nei chutz aretz b'yachas yom tov sheni. We look at you as an Israeli with respect to Yom Tov, because with respect to Yom Tov, you are always an Israeli. So I think sometimes you get asked the Shiloh, you hear about the Shiloh, people think, oh, I'm keeping Sukkot and Pesach in Israel. So I'm now a Ben Eretz Yisrael, according to this Mincha Shlomo. So the problem is, you also have to be there for Shavuos. Shlomo Zalman Arbach, no one ever said, if you're there for 2 out of 3, that that's going to be good enough. This alone is a big chiddush, but 2 out of 3, which I think a lot of people think is good enough. I don't know too many people fly back also for Shavuos. Maybe people do, but for the most part, I don't know how often this comes up practically. Where did he get such a svar? This is like, I don't know, it's a little surprising. You know, but I'm there for all the Yomim Tovim, so now I'm an Israeli. So he says, I know that what I'm saying is a big chiddush. Like, I wouldn't have been so comfortable saying it. He says, but at the end of the day, jump to the bold. Since the Chacham Tzvi also thinks you'll always keep 1 day, even without the three Yomim Tovim, and what he's saying makes a lot of sense. So he put that together with this svara, and he says, now I'm comfortable being Makel. This is a theme throughout a lot of Tshuvos, and again, if you have any specific situations, you should ask a rabbi. But many, many posts say, well, if we can just push you a little bit more into the Eretz Yisrael category, the Chacham Tzvi had a nice argument, that should be enough to get you into the Eretz Yisrael box, even though they wouldn't necessarily be comfortable based on that svara alone. We mentioned Rav Ovadia. I'll summarize him over here. Rav Ovadia has a fascinating idea. He says, and this is, I think, what Sfaradim do follow Lamaisa, although they should ask their rabbis. Let's say he's talking about a male, so he's talking about a bachar. You're in yeshiva, and we ask the bachar, if you were to find a nice Israeli girl, yeah, you're currently dependent on your parents, but you'd find a nice Israeli girl, and the way he puts it is, and she'd give you a really big dowry so that you could survive in Eretz Yisrael, would you stay? And if his answer is yes, so he says, that's good enough. Again, with the Chacham Tzvi, enough that, you know, we can consider it's possible that you'd be a Ben Eretz Yisrael. That's enough that as long as you could, in theory, stay here, that would be good enough. Then he has this great line at the end. He says, what if, we won't read it inside, but you can read it yourselves. He says, what if you are a, he says, no, I wouldn't. My parents would be so upset. So what you should do then is you should tell him, you know, living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. The halacha is, and Puru Revu is a mitzvah. And the halacha is, if your parents ever try and tell you to do something against a mitzvah, the real halacha is you shouldn't listen to your parents. So, again, if there's any of the Maaseh Shailos, someone should ask a rabbi instead of acting based on this one statement. So he says, you should try and convince him. Really, the halacha is you should stay in Eretz Yisrael if you find such a wonderful young woman. So if he says, I guess, you know, if you put it that way, maybe I would stay. So he says, that would be good enough to go and consider you a Ben Eretz Yisrael.
So if I have someone set up a student date in Israel, then
So I'm not passing the Shaila. You would have to ask whoever you normally ask your Shailas to. Not, again, this is Rabbi Avadah's big Kiddush. I'm not sure everyone is... Is the Israeli staying in Israel is the question. But that's according to Rabbi Avadah, the answer would be yes. If you're going on a shidduch date in Israel and that person is planning on staying in Israel no matter what, and you would join them, so then Rabbi Avadah at least would be mekel that you could keep one day. You have to make sure the dates don't end before Pesach then. But
so it's yours right now.
Okay, so we can figure out the specific application. I'll just tell you one thing which... yeah.
If you meet a guy, would you stay? And his story is that there was like one year that there was someone who wanted to do like monkey nifida drone training on what would have been second day Yom Tov. So like they really wanted to find the hectares that could find, do the monkey nifida drone training. And she's like, no, I would go back. And he's like, no, but maybe you would stay. So finally she's like, okay, fine, I stay. So he's like, okay, great, you can do keep only one day. And she ended up marrying the instructor of the monkey nifida drone.
Wow, she ended up marrying the training she got on the Yom Tov Sheni. That's incredible.
That's a great story.
I'll tell you one heter, which I just, it's against an explicit Rav Moshe Feinstein. Some people I've heard are mekel as long as you have an apartment. If you have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, that's enough. So Moshe writes explicitly that's, nowadays that means nothing. You could have an apartment in a whole bunch of places. You would fly back. Back in the day, it could be that having an apartment, if you had a home there, so that would mean you stay. But he says that's not really such a real big inyan. Rav Neuberger, the way Rav Neuberger put it is that unfortunately, in this area, whenever someone somewhere says something, so everyone else says, so that must be the halacha, as long as it's mekel. So that's unfortunate. Some people are doing one day, I think, shalom kedin. You should ask your local rabbi. I'll just end by saying that sometimes we have this tension in Chutz La'aretz because people don't really like this whole two-day yontif thing. They all want to do the one day, especially three-day yontif. So one of my rebbeim says we should start calling it 3 days of kedusha instead of 3 days of Yom Tov. Like you should try and like, we got to change the bad rap that 3 days of Yom Tov has. Yom Tov is a wonderful thing. We should really embrace it. So I don't know. Maybe that you know, fits for some people and just happens to not fit so well for me. The other approach, which I once heard from Rav Rosner, is no, it's okay for it to be uncomfortable. It's good that you don't enjoy 3 days of Yom Tov. The goal in the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants everyone in Eretz Yisrael, and especially right now, we're trying to keep the Eretz Yisrael, everyone in Eretz Yisrael in our mind. If you're keeping second day of Yom Tov, even while you're there in Eretz Yisrael, reminder to yourself, you know, the real place where we are supposed to be, you know, before Bias Kol, and certainly once Bias Kol Mashiach, so then we should be in Eretz Yisrael, and if we're a little uncomfortable, so it's a good reminder that hopefully one day we'll all end up there, Bekarov. Okay, everyone should have a fantastic night.